The Eads ironclads were finished just in time to take part in the operations on the Tennessee and Cumberland River we've already talked about, U.S. Grant's campaigns against Forts Henry and Donelson. Now, we've given the background of those campaigns already, and I won't go into details about the military side of them, the Army's part of them, but we'll focus on the Navy. The key naval officer here is Andrew Hull Foote, who would be commanding this little naval flotilla. He was named a flag officer, which was the equivalent of a general in the days before the rank of admiral came into use in the United States Navy. He was a very religious man, but a man with a hot temper and tremendous intensity and very careful about money, the government's money. He was driven, looked after details, and wanted to smite the rebels. He was given to very severe headaches. He was brave almost to a fault and very demanding. He and Grant got along well right from the beginning. His little flotilla was based at Cairo, Illinois, where the Ohio River joins the Mississippi. Fort Henry was the first target for this flotilla. It was about 3 acres in size. I've talked a little bit about it before, but a little more here. It was made of earth, had walls about 8 feet high, poorly designed, prone to flooding when the river rose, as we said before. On February 2nd, 1862, Foote and seven vessels escorted Grant's 17,000 soldiers in the strike against Fort Henry. On the morning of February 5th, Confederates awoke in the fort to find 2 feet of water lapping against the inside walls of the place. Some of the lower guns were actually underwater in Fort Henry. The Southern commander looked downstream. He saw Foote's vessels approaching, and he sent most of his strength 12 miles east to Fort Donelson. Foote brought his vessels up within range and then gave the order to be sure and not throw ammunition away. Every charge you fire, he said, cost the government $8. So with those martial words ringing in their ears, the Union gunners stood to their work and soon began to bombard Fort Henry. They eventually came within 300 yards of their target, very close range. The defenders quickly lost their cannons. They got a few rounds in against the Union naval vessels. One burst a boiler on the Essex, sent scalding water all through the inside of the vessel. But after 2 hours, the fort struck its colors, and the Navy, really without much help from Grant's soldiers, had reduced Fort Henry. A launch from the Cincinnati rode through the fort's main gate because the water was so high, past cannon, completely submerged, and took the formal surrender. So Henry's gone. The Tennessee River is now open, deep through Tennessee and even beyond into the Confederacy. Grant marched his infantry overland toward Fort Donelson. Foote took his flotilla back down the Tennessee to the Ohio, then up the Ohio a few miles, and then turned up the Cumberland to make its way to Fort Donelson, a much more powerful installation. February 15th, 1862, the Confederates turned back the initial attack by Foote's flotilla. Very powerful batteries, Confederate batteries, facing the river at Fort Donelson, and the Federals found out that this was going to be a very different problem than the one they had encountered at Fort Henry. Four of the Union vessels were badly damaged, but the flotilla regrouped and approached the fort again on February 16th. It sealed off the water escape for the defenders of Fort Donelson while Grant's infantry encircled the fort from the land side. And on February 16th, as we've seen before, Fort Donelson surrendered. Now the Cumberland River was open into the heart of Tennessee and to Nashville. The middle of the Western Confederate defensive line was gone. After Donelson, as we know, the Confederates abandoned Nashville, pulled back into northern Mississippi. Grant pursued along the Tennessee River, setting up the Battle of Shiloh on April 6th and 7th. Once again, the Union vessels played a role in that action, because when the Confederates launched their successful assaults on April 6th and pushed Grant's army back toward the Tennessee River, a pair of Union gunboats, the Lexington and the Tyler, came up and helped hold the Union line, hold off the Confederate attacks on the 6th so that Don Carlos Buell's army could come up and reinforce Grant that night. So good service by these two Union vessels at Shiloh. Overall, Foote and his flotilla played a major part in the operations on the rivers in Tennessee, during the first 4 months of 1862.